is Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
It's news time now. Sean's here with the news. Probably going to start with the air, I'm going to guess.
What? Something wrong?
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the one guy with asthma on this morning show about the air.
Everything's fine.
Take it wheezy.
No, we're definitely going to talk about the smoke out there. And we're apparently much closer to sharks than we think on a regular basis. News brought to you by Pitbull Tobacco and More, now open in Victory Crossing in Portsmouth. Five convenient locations, same great service for locals by locals.
All right.
We're still going to be dealing with the smoke from those Canadian wildfires today. Yesterday was smoky and unpleasant for a lot of people. For some of us, as Rumble pointed out, with asthma and other things, it was downright uncomfortable outside.
Boy.
You had messaged yesterday when you had to leave early. You said, hey, heads up, it is bad out
here. As soon as I walked outside, the haze descended upon this place.
I was like, oh, man. And so then I walked out later and went,
oh, my God, I'm going down.
It wasn't good.
I gave myself chest compressions. It was weird. Yeah.
It was rough. I just ran into a wall chest first. But seriously, though, yesterday, schools canceled after-school activities. Flights got messed up. FlightAware, a site that tracks flight cancellations and delays, showed around 1,000 flights canceled and about 18,000 delayed.
Just from for the smoke? They can't fly through it?
The smoky conditions.
Oh, no kidding.
Exactly right.
Wow.
Some of those delays were for hours and hours. Most of the flights affected were to or from the northeast of the U.S.
Okay.
The smoke is traveling south from Canada. For some reason, you don't know where it's coming from.
Right.
Officials there are battling more than a dozen wildfire hotspots, and they've had to evacuate 20,000 people so far.
In Canada?
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Wow,
President Joe Biden spoke with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau yesterday, and the White House said they were directing all available federal firefighting assets that can rapidly assist in suppressing these fires. So they're trying to help out.
I brought up the Norfolk Airport website. It looks good.
Okay, good.
Right now, everything's green.
So far.
So far, so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep an eye on it. If you have a flight today, I'd check based on yesterday.
Yeah, because these planes got to come from somewhere.
Yeah, exactly right. Today, we will see more of the same, unfortunately, as our area is under a code red air quality until tonight at midnight.
Damn!
Could I just bring up, by the way, that when one of my friends posted yesterday, oh, the air quality just got changed to red, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I went, where? Because I went all over the place trying to find it, and it seemed like everybody had different scales. And I was like, this is driving me nuts.
Well, yesterday we had orange.
Yeah.
Using the scale that we're currently using, it was orange yesterday. Today is going to be red.
It was just with everybody talking about it. But yeah, red is bad. Red is unhealthy for everyone.
Oh, it's god awful.
Yeah,
it's the code red. I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're damn right I did.
All right, there we go. That is, the weather center in Wakefield.
Yes, exactly right. Today, again, that unhealthy for everyone is what it's rated. We're going to have to see if that gets extended because it runs through tonight at midnight. Just a reminder, if you have to be outside today, really limit your time out there. Limit exerting yourself. Today's not the day to go for a run. And it's not a bad idea to have an N95 with you.
No, and you know what's weird is yesterday was one of these, national days. Yesterday was literally National Running Day.
Well,
so my fitness app on my phone kept reminding me to go for a run.
you wrote back, no smoky.
So what I did instead was I filled a bowl with coffee grounds and inhaled them.
Yeah, it's roughly
kind
the same.
Of the same. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah.
But at least you got some caffeine out of that. Yeah, so. And this isn't just for people with respiratory issues or the elderly. This is everybody we're talking about.
Yeah, now
it's
everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. A little hint, though. They say use the recirculate button in your car. The recirculation button in your car helps reduce some air pollution from entering your vehicle. They say it's not foolproof or anything, but it does help.
It's 85%, so it's significant.
Yeah, the report I'd seen said 80, but either way, I mean, you're still... That's significant.
My car works great. You can't smell the smoke anymore.
Oh, that's great.
You just hit recirc. And it just it recirculates the air that is in the cabin of the car. It will not take in any outside fresh air.
Right. And it says, for a period of time, nothing's getting in the car. So you're good.
Exactly.
A 2013 study published in the Environmental Science and Technology Journal found that the recirculate button can help reduce the level of exposure to outside air pollution to just 20% over time.
There you go.
So there you go.
And that's now you understand the importance of your cabin air filter.
Yes.
That's the thing. They charge you a lot of money to change that out, and it's a $15, $20 part at your auto store.
I'm just saying there's
videos. They charge you over $100. It's right behind your glove box.
There are videos
just so you know.
Online if you'd like to
save
do it
the money.
Yourself. That's just the heads up there. Just on a kind of related note, I'm probably going to say this wrong, but Kilauea volcano, Kilauea volcano, yeah, on Hawaii's Big Island is erupting again. U.S. Geological Survey officials say a glow was detected in webcam images from the summit yesterday. The images show fissures at the base of the crater generating lava flows. They say it's not a danger to anybody yet. However, there is ash coming down. So no matter where you live in the United States.
That's kind of the link here.
Yeah.
But apparently this thing hadn't erupted for like 30 days or something. Yeah, generally, it's a continuous flow.
It was a three-month pause.
Is that what it was? 90 days. Okay.
Yeah, so it hadn't gone off for a while. So they're telling everybody who lives within the area, you know, just, hey, pay attention.
Heads up.
Yeah. And again, you're going to see some ash. So again, no matter where you live in the United States, the air sucks today. Portsmouth just continues to confuse everybody who still works for the city, who doesn't.
People there just think they're in the casino.
Yeah, well.
I walk outside, it's like I'm in the casino.
Remember last year when Police Chief Renato Prince was fired?
Oh, my God. Every time you do a story about the government in Portsmouth, in my head, I hear musical chairs music.
Yeah, well, get ready.
And they take away one chair and somebody's out.
This chair is going back, apparently.
Oh, really?
He was fired after 10 months of the job by now former city manager Tanya Chapman.
Because they fired her.
Right. Renato has now been rehired, but he's going to be the assistant police chief.
He was the police chief previous.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. And he's going to be serving under his former assistant police chief.
Okay.
Stephen Jenkins, who is now the actual police chief.
Nice gig.
Yeah. We're still not entirely sure why Prince was fired the first time around. The best we got was from a city council member who said that Chapman fired Prince due to a, quote, breach of trust.
So they had a thing.
Yeah.
Well, it cost him money.
Yes.
They had to pay his severance. I don't know if you have it in the story.
$77,000, I think. $77,000
because of the we wanted to fire this guy that had an employment agreement. So you fired him. You gave him $77,000. You just hired him back to be the number two guy now.
Yep.
Which arguably might be a better gig.
Oh, maybe so.
You're not the bag man for everything.
But not only that, if we keep playing musical chairs here, and I'm not saying this wishing any ill, but how long does Stephen Jenkins stay in this job? And
then the
assistant
chief
guy goes back up to chief.
The story here beyond that, too, is that they're looking for the city manager now.
Yeah.
And half of them want to just hire the girl that they have doing the job who's been doing it for 6 months. And the other half want to spend $20,000 on a nationwide search.
Trying to find the right person.
I don't know, man. Sometimes you can't avoid the obvious. If you got somebody that's doing the job, the city is doing okay.
Right.
What are we doing?
You hear the music going and the chairs start moving.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
There it is.
Speaking of a breach, by the way, Russian hackers stole the payroll data of more than 100,000 employees of major British, American, and Canadian companies. And they threatened yesterday to put all that on the internet unless the firms that they stole it from negotiate with them.
Wow. Any noteworthy companies here?
BBC, British Airways, Walgreens, Boot Alliance, which is the company that owns Walgreens. Some big ones.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's just a few of them. They posted all this on the dark web. And the group, by the way, has the least threatening name ever. It's the CLOP.
Is that an
acronym? CLOP. Not that I found.
All right.
And I'm afraid to type in any detailed searches
the
on what CLOP might be. Cause
let's go to the CLOP. Oh, baby.
They're saying that these companies have to email them to negotiate before June 14th or face having their data published online.
Or you can rock and you can roll and you can go down a hole. The clop, clop, clop.
They said they put this online to educate the companies who use the, quote, Progress Move It product that they downloaded all this off that app. That's how they got it. They said it was an exceptional exploit is how they phrased it in that app. The group was able to get that. What I looked up was the Progress Move It app is a widely used business software that they use to shift files around different company systems. So it has access to all the files in the company.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. So if you want to move something from the accounting department to the, you know, something else.
So we work for a publicly traded corporation. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we have a big nationwide IT department and regional managers. We have 100 radio stations in 25 cities. And got an email yesterday, day before, about please stop using thumb drives to move your work from place to place. But instead, park them in the cloud or use one of these file sharing applications.
Great idea.
Well, I don't think so. Mm. I'm going to stay with the old thumb drive.
Yeah.
I know you hate to see it coming.
Yeah, but my thing is that if I go purchase the thumb drive,
yes,
you know, it's only ever been in my possession.
Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah, I should be able to use it.
Right.
But I also
then they recommended use it once and throw it away. That's $10-$12 to move this set of files.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if I like that. I'm not a big fan. But either way, so they're dealing with that. We'll see what happens from that from them. Researchers, by the way, have released results from a 2-year drone study that are pretty interesting. They showed that great white sharks come very close to people on a regular basis and just don't do anything.
It's probably better that we don't know.
Yeah, well, now you know, so you can panic. The study was along the Southern California beaches, and they looked at how close juvenile white sharks is how they described them. And I actually had to look that up at first.
Yeah.
Because I was like, wait, what's the difference between a white shark and a great white shark?
Yeah.
Turns out there isn't one. White sharks are just what people who are really picky call them, because there's no such thing as a lesser white shark, so they just call them white sharks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So all right. I thought maybe the white shark was the little one, and then it grows up too, and becomes a great white shark.
Apparently it's like a purist thing.
All right. So it's like Congressional Medal of Honor versus what it's actually, just the Medal of Honor, which is awarded by Congress.
Right.
Congressional's not part of the name.
We all know what you're talking about. Yes. Exactly. But they looked at how close they got to humans, and usually that meant like people wading in the water or surfers, paddleboarders. Right. And they revealed that people were near the sharks 97% of the days they surveyed over these 2 years.
Okay.
And during that 2-year drone study, there were no shark bites.
No, it sharks don't bite that many people if you look at the statistics for a world with 7 billion people in it.
Christopher Lowe.
Although they don't, not all coastal, but go ahead.
Christopher Lowe, who's a professor of marine biology and director of the California State University Long Beach Shark Lab, said that he was kind of shocked, honestly, that they were around us that much and there was never one incident. He talked a little more about it.
We expect that these current hotspots will go cold and someplace else will go hot. So what we always tell people is always understand that these sharks are highly mobile. They could always be at your beach. But rest assured, the data that we're getting now indicates that as long as you're not bothering them, they won't bother you.
And this heightened interest comes because we've seen a lot of sharks migrating a little further north up along Cape Cod and stuff than we typically do. So it's been a little bit of a focus for people. But again, they say that these white sharks were often spotted within 50 yards of where the waves would break, putting them pretty close to surfers and paddleboarders in close proximity.
Sure.
And some of them were only 2 yards away and just had no interest in you.
Great white sharks, I don't think, pose the risk of some of the other species.
Some of them are more aggressive.
Tiger sharks. Seem to be more aggressive.
But everybody thinks of the great white thanks to Jaws.
Jaws.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, you know, mammoth.
Oh, it's
size-wise,
It's huge. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting that, hey, you know what? They're not as dangerous as we want to make them out to be.
No. You share the space, I think. They got other stuff to do. Just don't look like a baby seal. That's all we ask.
You know,
don't go into the water with a pot roast duct tape to your abdomen.
Yeah, no, like why would anybody do that?
Yeah. Dude, I went parasailing in the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get up there to 500 feet or whatever it is, and you look down, and the water's filled with sea life. It's their home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's sharks.
Oh, there's
plenty of sharks.
Oh, yes.
I'm looking at my kids. We did a triple, right? So it's just trip me and Molly on the thing. And we're looking down like, oh, my God. Look at all the rays. Look at all the sharks. don't go swimming.
You know, the funny part about that to me is that I'm waiting for one of those memes to pop up with an image of it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, in this picture is a deadly predator, blah, blah, blah.
Click
and
here.
There's a shark. And there's a shark.
See?
That's
what
I'm waiting for. It'll happen at some point. And finally, we're talking about paddleboarding and everything, but let's get out of the water again and talk about going bike riding, specifically naked bike riding. If you've been looking for the friendliest cities to do this in, I only grabbed this because it was directed right to us because somebody's mad that you haven't pushed for this.
Really?
Yes, that public naked bike riding isn't more of a thing here in Virginia.
Is that my fault?
Apparently, according to them. They say based on naked biking events, local interest in nude cycling, bikeability, and public nudity laws, this survey says that Philadelphia is the most naked biking friendly city in America.
They do the naked bike ride every year.
Yeah,
Philadelphia has that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. After that, it's Portland, Seattle, New York, Austin, Los Angeles, Chicago, San Francisco, Madison, Wisconsin, and Milwaukee, which sounds chilly to me for naked bike riding.
Oh, the summer times there are glorious.
Yeah, but I would think it'd be limited, you know, as far as...
Oh, you got about 36 hours.
Yeah.
Then it's winter again. Yeah.
Exactly.
I grew up that way, man.
Yeah, so you get it. So I don't know. I guess we need to make a bigger push for naked bike riding here.
All right, that's on me.
That's on you.
All right, next year we're doing it. next May, we'll do the Undy 500.
Oh, I kind of like that. That's funny.
We're going to go have a tricycle race in our underwear. It's going to be great. The Undy 500. I've done it before. It'll be a blast.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. I think we did one of those here.
We did.
In the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah. I remember waving the
Getting
flag.
Getting the trikes is tough. Getting all those trikes is tough, buddy.
Yeah, I bet.
Tough.
Yeah. I'll have to watch because good luck getting one that I can get on.
We don't have one. For
yeah,
them.
No.
Yours is like a special needs kind of a trike. It's got to be built. I mean, fortified. Yeah.
Not many places carry the baby Huey size.
You need the one with the orange flag.
Yeah, exactly. Today, scattered showers and thunderstorms and widespread haze thanks to that smoke, patchy fog. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 75. Tonight, more haze and partly cloudy with a low around 56. Tomorrow, we'll see if that warning gets extended, but we have a chance of showers and thunderstorms. And again, calling for widespread haze, mostly sunny with a high near 77. Last check, about 57 degrees. With the news, I'm Sean Hood for Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.